What if the secret to a lifelong love of your sport wasn't just in how you train your body? What joy, possibility, and performance could be unlocked through the power of mental fitness? Well, you're about to find out. Welcome to the MindFit Athlete Podcast. If you want to figure out what's holding you back, then you're in the right place. Now, here's your host, John Ray.
It's good to be back with you. I'm John, and it's my pleasure to be joined with Emily and Jamie. Today, we're diving into a topic that, honestly, I used to think was just for tech geeks and pros, road bike tires. But as it turns out, the humble tire might be the single most important choice you can make for race day performance. We were all told it wasn't about the bike. Now it seems it's not the wheels, not the frame, not even the helmet. It's all about the tires. So it's tires, tubes, and turmoil. All right, here on the MindFit Athlete Podcast.
You really could say this is the episode where the rubber meets the road, right?
It really is, Emily. I think this episode could be quite divisive, so I'm looking forward to see where we end up. Seems like there's been a bit of a revolution these last few years. Emily, you remember when we all thought performance depended on deep section carbon wheels?
Oh, absolutely. I used to drool over those disc wheels, thinking they were the secret sauce. But the more I learned, the more I realized that tire choice can save you way more time for a fraction of the cost. I mean, some studies show you could save up to 16 minutes over an Ironman just by picking a fast tire instead of a standard one. That's wild. And John, you always say, bang for your buck. Well, tires are it.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Because for years, the cool kids and the pros were all about tubulars. You know those tires you glue onto the rim? Bit of a faff, quite honestly. Clinchers have always been there, of course.
And clinchers are the tires all of us know. They have inner tubes, and the tire clinches onto a bead within the wheel's rim.
Yes, but now we've got tubeless, which, I'll admit, sounded unlikely to me at first. And there's the whole wider is faster and lower pressure is better thing. It's like everything we thought we knew about tires has been flipped upside down.
To be honest, Jamie, I find this whole area a little confusing and hard to get a handle on. It seems like tire tech is in state of change right now. I think I know that tubulars are out and tubeless is faster, and that's about where I am.
It does seem a really good time to revisit what we think we know about bike tires. It's certainly true that for years, the wheel marketing people have done a great job, and it's been kind of easy for them as those deep carbon wheels look so cool. But I have to say that now, instead of picking your wheels first and then finding a tire to fit, it's almost the other way around. The tire can dictate the wheel, so I hope we're going to break down the science, the strategy, and the real-world choices so the listener can make the best call for their next race, whether you're a seasoned triathlete or just getting into the sport.
Let's start with rolling resistance, because this is where the magic, or the misery, happens. Rolling resistance is basically the friction your bike has to overcome to keep moving forward. Amazingly, tubes and tires account for close to 10% of the resistance your bike needs overcome in order to move forward. So, the higher a tire's rolling resistance is, the more power you need to go the same speed. And for triathletes, every watt saved is free speed.
Yeah, and the testing numbers are kind of shocking. Like, take the 25mm Veloflex Record Clincher. Its rolling resistance is 20.1 watts per tire at 45 kph. But then you look at something like the 23mm Cadex Race Tubeless TLR, and that has a rolling resistance of 48.3 watts per tire. That's a 28-watt difference per tire. You're talking about a massive gap. I mean, how long would it take you to increase your FTP by 28 watts? That's months, if not years, of training for most of us.
So it seems the construction of the tire is what really matters. Some compounds and casings just roll better. For example, a Pirelli tubeless ready tire can be about 5 watts faster just because of its design. And that's one reason that tubeless is getting so much attention. There's no friction between the tube and the tire casing, so you lose less energy. So our first key point is that not all tires are created equally. Regardless of tubeless or clincher, there is a huge range of tire performance. Researching and picking the best tire you can afford is where to start.
But it's not just in the tires, John. I think that most of us know that latex tubes were a big upgrade over standard buteel tubes. For example, Michelin's latex tubes can save you nearly 4 watts in rolling resistance. But now we've got TPU tubes, which are even lighter and roll better than butyl.
TPU. Can you explain that, Jamie?
Sorry, everyone. I shouldn't assume. TPU stands for thermoplastic polyurethane. Now here's the thing. Testing shows the difference between a tubeless tire and a top-end clincher tire with a latex or TPU tube is minimal. In the lab, it's less than a watt. In the real world, that means no real difference.
That is really interesting. So if you're listening and you don't know why you're riding the tires you have, this is your wake-up call. In triathlon, tire choice isn't just about avoiding flats. It's about saving your legs for the run, too. Efficiency is crucial. And honestly, the wrong tire could be costing you way more than you think.
All right, let's talk tire pressure, because this is also where a lot of us can benefit, and it won't cost you anything to get it right. The old thinking was, pump it up as hard as you can, and you'll go faster. But that's only approximately true in velodromes and very smooth roads, which, let's be honest, most of us never see.
Exactly. On real-world roads, if your tires are overinflated, they bounce over every bump.
That's called suspension loss. Energy that should be moving you forward is wasted pushing you up and down. Plus, it's uncomfortable. But if you go too low on pressure, you get more friction because more of the tire touches the road. The sweet spot is keeping the tire in constant contact with the road, letting it deform just enough to absorb bumps without bouncing.
Comfort is something I think about with bike fit and aero position, but I've never really considered the tires as a factor.
Emily, it's not only about comfort, though that's a huge bonus for triathletes. Lower pressure, within reason, means a bigger contact patch, so you get better grip, especially in corners or on wet roads. To help you with this, there are pressure calculators online, like the Silka Professional Tire Pressure Calculator. These websites allow you to plug in your tire width, weight, and road surface to get a recommended pressure. It seems a bit nerdy, but try it and see.
And for triathletes, that comfort is gold. Less road buzz means less fatigue, so you're fresher for the run. And if you're racing in the rain, dropping your pressure a bit can make a big difference in safety and confidence. So don't just max out your PSI. Find what actually works for you and your course.
So let's move on to tire width. Do you know your tire width? How did you decide, or did you let Amazon decide for you?
Firstly, can we make sure we're all in the same place? Let's say your tire's size might be 700 by 23C. The first number, the 700, is the overall diameter of the tire, and the second number, the 23, indicates the tire's width in millimeters. The C refers to the rim size expressed by a letter code. I used to be 23 millimeters, but did read that 25 millimeters might be faster, so I've moved up.
You're exactly right, John. If you stay at 23 or even 25 millimeters, you are probably leaving speed on the table. The old standard was 23, but now 25 is the norm, and 28, 30, or even 32 millimeters is becoming more common, especially for comfort and versatility.
It's so counterintuitive. You'd think a wider tire would have more rolling resistance.
Exactly, and here's the twist. Wider tires, when run at the right pressure, can actually have lower rolling resistance than narrower ones. It is counterintuitive. But the bigger air volume means the tire can deform more easily over bumps, so you lose less energy. Plus, wider tires are less likely to pinch flat, because there's more distance before the rim hits the ground.
I've got an actual example of this. The 2024 70.3 Worlds were in New Zealand, right? Well, you know how New Zealand roads have that rough, textured chip seal surface? A triathlete I know chose 28mm Continental GP5000s, run at 87 psi. During training, they found that lower pressure made long rides way more comfortable and reduced punctures. And honestly, if you're not rattled to death by the road, you're going to ride better and run better off the bike.
So, the message here is to check your frame clearance and rim compatibility, but don't be afraid to experiment going wider.
Definitely. The research shows that for most of us, a wider tire at lower pressure is actually faster and more comfortable. And that's a win-win.
All right, let's get into tubeless, because this is where things get really interesting. Tubeless tires don't use an inner tube. They seal directly to the rim with a bit of liquid sealant inside. This tech started in mountain biking, but now it's everywhere, even in the Tour de France. I have to admit, though, I'm really reluctant to try these.
Oh, John, you can be such a dinosaur. The big advantage with tubeless is puncture protection.
Well, let's go through it. For a tubeless system to function, several components work in conjunction. Firstly, there needs to be an airtight rim bed, which is the base of the U-shaped bit of the wheel, where you can see the outer edge of the spokes. at the place that an inner tube would sit in. There's no inner tube with a tubeless, so that rim base must be airtight. This is achieved by applying special tape around the rim to seal off the spoke holes. Next, the tire can't lose air from where it connects to the wheel. To do that, the bead inside the tire needs to be different. Tubeless tires have a much stiffer, reinforced bead that won't stretch. This rigid bead is crucial for creating and maintaining the tight, airtight seal with the rim.
Which makes it a nightmare to get off the rim if you need to.
But you won't need to, John, because the sealant lowers the risk of puncture.
That's the next difference. You have to add that sealant to the tire when you fit it, and it coats the inside. A lot like a car tire. It's designed to fill tiny holes and automatically seal most small punctures as you ride along, often without you even noticing. That's a huge race saver, because a flat in a triathlon can be a disaster.
And with no inner tube, you don't get pinch flats, those snake bites from hitting a pothole.
Right. Going back to what we talked about earlier, because there's no risk of pinch flats, you can run lower pressures, which means more comfort and grip. Modern wheels are almost all tubeless compatible now, and all the big pro teams are using them.
Yes, I get it. But Jamie, setting up tubeless can be an ordeal, sometimes messy and sometimes even tricky to just seat the tire. It can be a struggle.
Yes, but like everything, it gets better with practice. Once it's on, it's a game changer for a lot of people.
And if you do get a big puncture that the sealant can't handle, you can still put a tube in and get home. But for most small stuff, tubeless just keeps you rolling. It's not magic, but it's close.
Let's zoom out and review what we've covered. Seems to me the most important thing, whether you go clincher or tubeless, is the tire construction. There are some really slow tires out there, so invest in a top-end model. A slow tubeless tire will be slower than a fast clincher, no question.
Yeah, and the fastest tires, like the Veloflex Record, Vittoria Corsa Pro Speed, or Continental GP 5000 TT, are all about the compound and casing. The TPI, or threads per inch, makes a difference in how supple and fast the tire feels. And don't forget, a top-end clincher with a TPU tube can be lighter than a tubeless setup, sometimes by 140 grams or more. But honestly, that's only worth 3 or 4 seconds over an Ironman. It's kind of academic.
So after construction, our next decision is tire width, followed by choosing a tire pressure.
Almost, John. I'd say after width, you'd want to decide tubeless or clincher, then decide on pressure after that.
Cost is another factor. Tubeless can be slightly cheaper up front, but it takes more time to set up and maintain. And if you're running rim brakes, be careful with TPU tubes. They don't like heat. But for most of us on disc brakes, it's not an issue.
I think we now need to examine the whole area of puncture resilience. Let's agree that tubeless has a distinct advantage here. But can a clincher get close? I think it can, if you pick the right tire and tube combination. Firstly, latex inner tubes are more puncture resistant than butyl. Also, high-end TPU inner tubes have demonstrated greater puncture resistance than latex.
I didn't know that about TPU. That's really interesting.
TPU is incredibly resilient, with high tensile strength and tear resistance. Imagine a material that can stretch significantly, but is also remarkably tough against sharp objects. This combination makes it very difficult for thorns, glass, or other road debris to penetrate. Some manufacturers even produce TPU tubes with multiple layers or specific formulations to enhance puncture protection further. Also, TPU tubes can be manufactured to be incredibly thin and light, while maintaining their inherent strength. This allows for a very low weight without sacrificing significant puncture resistance.
It seems to me that tubeless really can be harder to install and remove, especially if you're dealing with a tight tire bead. Some clincher tires are hard enough to fit, but I can see the attraction of puncture protection from the sealant. On the other hand, you're saying high-end TPU tubes are durable and they are easy to swap out if you do get a flat.
All right, so where do you both stand? Emily, you're team tubeless, right?
Hold that thought, Jamie. We will be right back after this. It's 86 beats per minute, so you can work on your run and cycle cadence, but only if it's safe to do so. What will you decide? Are you a clincher or a tubeless?
Welcome back, everyone. All right, Jamie. What we've discussed so far has made me think more about width and pressure. I'm maybe less fixed on this than I was, but especially on race day, tubeless, I still think, is a superior choice.
Say more about why, Emily.
Well, there are speed advantages that are real. We're talking about lower rolling resistance because you eliminate the friction of an inner tube rubbing against the tire casing. I know that Pirelli claimed 4-5 watts saved by running it tubeless instead of with a butyl inner tube. That's significant. For an Olympic distance event, a 5-watt saving could mean 17 to 20 seconds faster.
You have such a need for speed, Emily. I hear you on the speed. I think the key for me in what you just said was butyl. That's not a fair comparison, as most people race with latex. What we risk overlooking is the growing case for high-end clinchers paired with modern TPU tubes rather than latex or butyl. My argument is that these setups offer comparable performance with far less drama and mess. Yes, tubeless saves watts, but it's small. I don't think it's a real-world difference.
John, if it's 2 watts, then 2 watts is still 2 watts, especially in a race where every second counts. And what about puncture protection? Tubeless systems will automatically seal small punctures as you ride, and we both know a flat requiring a stop in a short race is a race ender. Plus, no more pinch flats.
That's true. Tubeless has a clear point of difference on small punctures. However, if you get a larger gash or tear that the sealant can't handle, the situation quickly becomes very messy. You're left dealing with sealant all over your hands and bike, and you'll still need to insert a spare inner tube anyway.
I do agree that with either tubeless or clincher, we have to carry tubes for spares, so that's the same for both setups.
It seems to me this is where high-quality TPU tubes really shine. If, like Jamie says, they are much more puncture-resistant, even than latex, but still, if you do get a flat, they can be easily swapped out. It's quick, clean, and hassle-free. Compared to struggling with a failed tubeless seal, that's got to be a huge advantage for roadside repairs.
What about comfort, John? You'd agree that tubeless can be ridden at lower pressure?
I do agree. And you're right that lower pressures improve comfort, but remember that TPU tubes offer that too. They offer the possibility of significantly lower air pressures than conventional butyl tubes, increasing comfort and safety. So we're getting similar ride quality benefits. I'm not putting any store on the reduced weight from clinchers with TPU tubes, as I also think it's an academic benefit.
You have to believe that the professionals know what they are doing when they have changed from tubulars to tubeless. They didn't choose clinchers.
That's because they have a team of people to do all the dirty work. They just have to show up and ride. Unfortunately, we live in the real world. We have to set ours up ourselves and deal with the punctures ourselves. I'd choose tubeless, too, if someone just handed me a new bike every time I punctured.
All right, that's fair. But for optimal race day performance, particularly over longer distances like half Ironman or Ironman, the cumulative speed and comfort benefits of tubeless seem to me to be significant. I think tubeless helps preserve energy for the run. The ability a sealant to handle small road debris without a stop is so reassuring. It keeps me confident that all the effort I've invested in training is going to get expressed in the race.
I'm just the opposite. I have the same goal as you, to be confident. I also want to enjoy the race, and I think a puncture over distance of 90 or 180k is a real prospect. I just don't know for sure that I'll be able to get that tubeless tire off the rim. If I'm worried about a complicated, messy repair, that mental stress is something I can do without. With TPU tubes, it sounds like I'll have better puncture resistance, and if I do flat, the repair is quick, clean, and hassle-free.
John, it's important to me to know I did everything I could. Dotted the I's and crossed the T's. I have dismissed clinchers as being outdated and slow, but Jamie has really helped to bring me up to date. Both are high-performance options, and it's just, like, we are placing different emphasis on different things?
I think you caught it perfectly, Emily. Our research for the episode suggests there's no single fastest setup that works for everyone in all conditions. I guess it comes down to what matters most to you, ultimate speed and puncture protection, or simplicity and ease of repair. If you don't have a major puncture, both are great options, and the performance gap is tiny. Just make sure you know how to use whatever setup you choose. I've never used a TPU tube, but after this, I have to give it a go.
I love that. It's not about being right. It's about what works for you, your goals, and your peace of mind. And honestly, I'm just glad we have choices. You know, listening to you two and knowing you as well as I do, I think I could have predicted your choices. Emily for tubeless and John Yu for clincher. Can I offer to you that it's quite obvious how your inner saboteurs might be shaping these choices? Emily, your drive for performance and control made me think of the hyperachiever and maybe a bit of controller saboteur too. You're very driven, all about the numbers, the results, the external validation. It's like, if I'm not getting every possible what, am I even trying?
Oh, that's really interesting, Jamie. I think I'm guilty as charged. I do love chasing those measurable gains, and there is a pressure I put on myself to keep improving. I think I enjoy that. But you're right. Sometimes I get so focused on the outcome that I forget to enjoy the process. And I definitely like the feeling of control that comes with knowing my tires are as fast and protected as possible.
I think what you're saying is exactly right, Jamie. And thank you for pointing it out. One of my top two saboteurs is the hypervigilant, and I see in myself a tendency to be wary of new things. You might even say I'm a classic late adopter. I was the last person in the Northern Hemisphere to stop using Lotus 1-2-3. Somehow I gravitate to what could go wrong. What if I can't get the tubeless tire off? What if the sealant fails? What if I'm stuck on the side of the road? But that means I rarely think about what if it went really well. Maybe there's a bit of avoider in there too. I just want a hassle-free experience, even if it means giving up a tiny bit of speed.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Our saboteurs can make us blind to other options, or make us think our way is the only way. These are ways of thinking that have become autopilot for us. We just don't notice them. But if we can become aware of them, we might make more balanced choices. Choices that could serve us better.
Well, I can absolutely see that I've wrongly judged TPU and just dismissed it rather than doing the explore work to find out about what the technology means. That's a voider for sure.
I just love where you've taken this, Jamie. Now you've mentioned it, I can see how someone with a strong hyper-rational might obsess over every watt and data point, missing out on the comfort and joy of the ride. Maybe I have a touch of that too?
Good point, Emily. Jamie mentioned that academic research paper on the impact of TPU tubes on weight reduction. Yes, the weight saving is helpful, but honestly, does it matter? A hyper-rational would love that paper and already would have been stressing that they have the wrong tires.
Yeah, they'd get drawn into the paper and forget to do their workout, which actually does matter. I had the stickler in mind too. They need everything to be perfect. Tire pressure, compression sleeves, chain wax to perfection, and go faster tri-suits. But if something goes wrong, it can be a real meltdown moment.
Yeah, the stickler's need for perfection can actually backfire. If you're so rigid that you can't adapt when things go sideways, like a puncture that won't seal, you're setting yourself up for stress. And the hyper-rational might miss the bigger picture, like how a subjective feeling like comfort can actually make you faster over a long race.
It's a good reminder that our mental game is just as important as our equipment. If we let our saboteurs run the show, we can end up making choices that don't actually serve us and limit our enjoyment of the sport.
What I think is just so cool about Jamie's catch is that our saboteur thinking is so invasive and normal that we don't even notice it most of the time.
It's the water we all swim in, right?
Exactly. So what do we do about it?
Well, the Positive Intelligence Saboteur Assessment is where I'd start. It's online, confidential, and free. It takes just a few minutes and you'll have a report. Most people feel the assessment really nails it. Once you see it in black and white, it's a real aha moment.
The assessment helps us to understand which saboteurs are strong in us.
Yes, once it's pointed out, it's kind of obvious. I think it also normalizes our reactions. I mean, it's not just us. It's the human condition to have these saboteur ways of thinking. We all have them to a greater or lesser extent.
So, when you know what to look out for, the next step is to develop the skill of awareness for how and when these inner critics, these saboteurs, are influencing our decisions. Imagine this skill as a radar, just gently monitoring how we are thinking.
Well, this has been great. I am not quite persuaded to go tubeless, but I can see that some avoider and maybe hypervigilant influence has held me back from trying TPU. It's a perfect example of where unexamined thinking can hold you back. Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome. It's not the time to go into this, but Positive Intelligence's sage powers really help to counter this default conditioned thinking. It's about shifting from a reactive, saboteur-driven mindset to a proactive, sage-driven one. John, you could really have used explore.
You're right. This is not for now, but I just have to offer this to Emily. Would you mind, Emily?
Not at all. Go for it.
It's actually not just for Emily. I think triathlon attracts people with hyperachiever saboteurs.
You mean when one sport just isn't enough, you have to have three?
Yes, that's a part of it. But Emily, if you could get deeper into the sage power of self-empathy, then I would hope you would see that your self-worth is not tied to any performance or results, that you have nothing to prove, least of all in a hobby like triathlon. You, like everyone else, are worthy just as you are. That means having your own back, even when you make a mistake or have a bad race. So, my wish for you is to explore unconditional self-acceptance. Maybe it would deepen your intrinsic joy in training and racing, letting it be more about the process itself, the effort, the outdoors, the connection, the challenge, rather than being conditional on the outcome. I hope you don't mind me saying.
John, thank you. I don't mind at all. I hear what you are saying. I love how this all comes full circle. It's not about being pro-tubeless or pro-clincher. It's actually more important to be pro-you. Self-worth isn't tied to your race result or your tire choice. Whether you set a new PB, have a DNF, or just enjoy the ride, you're still the same amazing human. I need reminded of this over and over.
Absolutely. Don't let a decision get you down. Make the best choice you can, learn from it, and know that every experience moves you forward. There's no such thing as a bad decision, just more information for your journey.
So, everyone, what's one small step you can take today to embrace this mindset in your training? Maybe it's trying a new tire or just letting go of the need to be perfect. Maybe you'll look up the saboteur assessment at positiveintelligence.com. Whatever it is, enjoy the process and trust that you're enough, no matter what.
Well, I didn't expect this episode to turn out this way, but I'm very glad it did. It's been very easy to agree that what matters is selecting the best tire quality we can afford, choosing a wider tire and running that tire at a lower pressure using an online guide. The rest is a matter of choice. Thanks everyone for joining us on the MindFit Athlete podcast. Emily, thank you for your vulnerability. And Jamie, thank you for your excellent in-the-moment coaching. And to all of you listening, keep exploring, keep learning, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Jamie. Take care, everyone.
Cheers, you two. See you all soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mind Fit Athlete podcast. If you've enjoyed today's material and you'd like to dive deeper, our Mind Fit Athlete community is waiting for you over at mindfitathlete.com. That's where we take these insights and integrate them into our everyday lives. In fact, we're on a mission to help everyone build their mental fitness so they can choose happiness, thrive, and make a positive difference. We are building our mental fitness in sport and in life, and we'd absolutely love to have you join us.